be in 1 Samuel. If you've got your outline from the other side, we're getting a little bit of echo in here. I don't know. Maybe that's my hearing. It's just coming and going. So anyhow, but 1 Samuel is where we're going to be. I'm going to start off by telling you a true story. True story about an old preacher man. He was a good man in a lot of ways, and a young boy. And they worked together. In fact, they worked together in a church. They both served the Lord, and they were all both faithful. From outward appearances, you would think that you'd be impressed with both of them, but especially the old preacher, because he had served so many years, and he just seemed to be so faithful. However, there was a big difference between this preacher and this young boy. Of course, their age, one was old, one was young. But there was another difference. It was something you couldn't really see from outward appearances. Something about the inside. It was their relationship with God. The old preacher was going through the motions of serving the Lord, but for several years he'd grown far from the Lord. And he was just going through the motions. This is a formality more than anything. He'd become insensitive. He'd become indifferent to God. And when God wanted to speak to his people, he ought to have spoken through that preacher. But actually, he had, when God spoke, he bypassed the preacher. And he went to that young boy. And here's the question I've got for you guys tonight. Why do some people hear from God and others do not? Why are some like that old preacher and God bypasses, and some are like that young boy? Title of the message is How to Hear God. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'm going to read this whole chapter. The Bible says, Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Remind me to come back to verse 1. There's some comments I want to make on that. Verse 2. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in this place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here I am. So he ran to Eli and he said, Here I am, for you called me. And Eli said, I did not call. Lie down again. Samuel went and lay down. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel! So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Eli answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Yet the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So Samuel rose, went to Eli, and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told them that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son? He answered, Here I am. And he said, What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide something, anything from me, of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, and Dan and Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let me stop there. But let me go back to verse 1. It's interesting. Now the boy Samuel ministered the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. It bothers me that the Bible says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. It bothers me that when Samuel heard the Lord speak to him, that it took the old preacher, Samuel, 1, 2, 3 times to figure out that's the Lord speaking. I'll be honest with you, I don't think it was that the word of the Lord was rare. I think it was that the people of the Lord that should have been hearing from God was rare. So I want to challenge you tonight. I believe that God speaks to us a whole lot more often than what many times we are listening. So my challenge to you, and I got to be honest, my challenge to myself is how to hear from God. That story I told you, the old preacher and the young boy, of course, that is the story of Eli, and that's the story of the young boy, Samuel, both lived in the temple. Hey, I've got blanks to fill in for you. Paul's helping me out. Here's how to hear from God. I got 7 things, and I know some of you say, boy, there were 4 today. That was a long sermon. He's got 7 tonight. How long is this going to be? Hey, we'll get you out of here. Don't worry, Gene. Don't worry. We'll get you out of here. Number 1, quietly. Here's how to hear from God. Quietly. You can just fill in the blanks if you've got your outline. If not, you can find a piece of paper and write these 7 things down. Quietly, we need how to hear from God. The verse 2, and you say, preacher, where did you get that? Well, look with me in verse 2. And it says, it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. So it was at night. At that time, it was at night, Samuel was lying down. God speaks to us in different ways. By the way, this is a good time to have a little bit of audience participation. Think with me. In the Bible, what were some different ways that God spoke to people? Preacher, you're not allowed to answer here. Anybody else? How did God speak to people in the Bible? Yes, sir, Bill? Through the burning bush. Okay. By the way, this is a good question. Has God spoken to anybody through a burning bush? Me neither. Okay. But that is one way that God spoke. Okay. What's another way? Oh, come on. I know you know some different ways.
He sent his son to speak.
All right. He sent his son. That's a good way. That's right. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, he speaks to us through the son. Right. Judgment. Okay, let's just say circumstances. He speaks to us in circumstances. But judgment is certainly. That gets our attention. What about he spoke to Daniel? He spoke to Joseph, husband of Mary. How did he speak to them? Angels. That's right. Dream. You were going to say that, man. Dreams. Okay. Good. Dreams, yeah. What about how do you speak to Balaam? Through a donkey. Through a donkey, yeah. So burning bush, a donkey, a dream, an angel. What are some ways that God actually speaks to us today? Prayer. Yes, thank you. Prayer. Sir? Through the word of God. Now you've got to say that. You've got to say that. Now I want to make just a comment here. I've been around people, and about every 15 minutes or so, they say, hey, God just spoke to me. Okay. And then 15 minutes later, God just spoke to me. Okay. God, I don't know if God is speaking that often to that person. I, maybe he is, but God, I'll be honest, God doesn't speak to me that often. God does speak. We know that, but I don't know how often he speaks. I do think the main problem with us communicating with God is not that God doesn't speak, but that many times we aren't hearing. But God, but I do want to come back to the Word of God. If you get a word from God through a dream, an angel, through someone else, and it doesn't match up with the Word of God, then it's not God, okay? The Word of God is the final authority. You, whatever you hear from God or sense from God, if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, it's not the Word of God. It's got to match up with the Bible. God does not go against His Word. Let me tell you one other way God speaks, through creation. You know, Romans chapter 1 says we are without excuse because God created things and we ought to see God. So God does speak through creation. God speaks through circumstances. Hey, believe it or not, God speaks through preachers. He does. God speaks through Sunday school teachers. God does speak through these people that are teaching. The Holy Spirit. When Brandy said prayer, I thought, well, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. So God speaks to us. I just want you to see that. That God speaks to us. And if God, what God says doesn't match up with the Word of God, then we can't go by it. Now, I'm not going to talk so much about how God speaks tonight because that's not what we're talking about. But we do need to come to the same conclusion that God speaks. And I hope you agree with me. Now, what we're going to be talking about is, are we listening? The problem is not, does God speak? The problem is, do we hear from God? And one reason we don't hear from God is, I just frankly believe there's just too much noise. As I said today, I think we're too busy in this modern 21st century. And I think there's too much noise in this world. Radio, television, all these electronic devices. We just have to have things going with us. My wife's not with me tonight. We had a relative come in and had some issues. And so I'm glad she stayed home with this relative and she was able to minister to her. But so I can talk about my wife since she's not here, right? Is your, oh, your wife's here, so you don't have that for you. Okay. What was it? When Sharon comes home from work, she's a school teacher, immediately she turns something on. She just likes to have some noise going. And even if she's not watching TV, she turns it on and just has it on. She likes to have things going, which is not all that bad. But many times I think we've got way too much noise going on. And it's the noise that keeps God from, it's not the noise that keeps God from speaking, it's the noise that keeps us from hearing God. I tell you, one of the things I really enjoy doing is going out and walking. And in Tulsa, Broken Arrow, that area, we've got some great trails, walking trails. They built a creek turnpike out our way several years ago, and they got a walking trail along that creek turnpike. Now, you walk along, you got to hear the constant traffic, but you get used to it. It's kind of quiet, in one sense. And I like to go out the Riverside Drive, and both sides, and walk, and I just walk for it. Actually, I walk for hours and just visited with God and His wife. Chuck Swindoll says, solitude and silence, and we'll hear more from God. And we need to practice that, solitude and silence. Let me give you some biblical examples. Remember Jacob and Esau, when they had that problem, Jacob left and Esau. And then Jacob, when he's coming back home, and he's going to meet up with Esau, he's pretty fearful. Which is a good time when any of us listen to God when we're in a bit of dire straits. And Jacob was. Do you remember when the angel wrestled with Jacob? Who all was there? Because Jacob had quite an entourage, family and servants and flocks and herds. He had sent them on ahead. Jacob was there by himself. And it was in the middle of the night that the angel, this is just my opinion, I can't prove it. I think that angel was Jesus Christ in the Old Testament because it says the angel. And there's a couple of, that's a theophany. I think it was the Christ. But anyway, it was God speaking, visiting Jacob there wrestling. But it happened in the middle of the night and it was all alone and he was quiet. Let me give you another example. What about Elijah? Remember when he was running and he was scared? Again, it's a great example of we're more prone to hear from God as we're in dire straits. Elijah was fearful. Jezebel, you remember, he got her all wound up. She was on his tail. He was scared. And remember, he's standing there in the cleft of the rock, and there was, I think, the earthquake and the storm and the thunder, and he thought he'd hear from God. But no, what was it that he heard from God? How did he hear from God? Still, small voice. Gentle whisper. Psalm 46:10. We've got that on the screen. Be still and know that I am God. Again, that's a great verse. We're just way too busy. We've got way too many things on. And many times we just need to be still and realize that God's in charge. When all our kids were little, they wanted a pet. And so we live in a small house. I didn't want to get a dog. So I got a hamster. We named it Teddy. We had Teddy in the hamster cage, you know, and those things are notorious for escaping out of them. The kids feed them and leave the cage and they got it. And in the daytime, when the kids were there, a lot of them, we couldn't find Teddy anywhere. But at night, when all the kids were in bed, we could actually hear Teddy running down the hallway. We could hear that little hamster because everything was quiet. I was telling you about that parsonage we live in this morning, the pastor there in eastern Arkansas, and we actually had mice. When the kids were in bed, lights were out, and Sharon and I were in bed, we could hear those mice go through the back, and Sharon said, does that sound like mice? I said, no, we don't have any mice in this house, but we did. It was, when everything was quiet, silence. I want you to, here's a little trivia. I wish I had a prize I could give away tonight. But those of you that are quick with numbers or words or letters, silent, S-I-L-E-N-T. Some of you boys ought to get this, okay? Silent, S-I-L-E-N-T. If you rearrange those letters, you come up with another word. What word would be helpful here that you could use those same six letters? Silent, mix the word, the letters up. Close. Who said that? Listen, Jerry. Remember that. Silent. Take those same six letters and spell the word listen. That's a good way to remember that. How to hear from God quietly. Here's the second word. Expectantly. Expectantly. Thank you, Paul. How do we hear from God? Expectantly. I want you to skip on down to verse 5 in this passage, 1 Samuel chapter 3. It said, the Lord called, that's verse 4, verse 5. So he ran to Eli. When he heard his name called, he ran to Eli. A lot of times when I call my kids, they say, and they don't, they certainly don't do it, Samuel. They don't run to me. They say, yes, Dad, what? I said, appreciate Samuel. He ran to Eli. He didn't just yell back. He didn't just walk to Eli. He ran. Too many times in our prayers we're the formality about God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this service. Go with it. There's not just a real expectancy. And we ought to pray with kind of an enthusiasm and an excitement and an expectancy. Now, I don't want to come across arrogant or presumptuous, but God's our Father. We're His children, and God wants to bless us. Years ago, I heard a sermon about how much God loves us and how much He blesses us. And in Romans chapter 8, this is very interesting, Pastor. You know this verse. It said, he, talking about God, it said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how much more will he graciously give us all things? Do you know when God gave us his son, that we were all sinners? Do you know, I hate to tell you this, but it's true. When God gave us his son, we were God's enemies. You know, God gave us His very best while we were His enemies. What do you think He's going to give us now that we're His children? Folks, there ought to be an excitement and an enthusiasm and an expectancy. God gave us His very best when we were His enemies, and now that we're His children, there ought to be expectancy. When God calls, we ought to run to Him. There was a little town somewhere out, I don't know where, and for years it had been dry. They hadn't sold any alcohol, it was against the law. Well, they changed the law, and a tavern was moving in. They're building this bar, and there was a group of Christians, thank goodness, that didn't want that tavern in there. And so they said, we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. They set the time of the day, and they had these Christians come, gathered in the church, and they started praying that God wouldn't let this tavern open. The guy had already built the building, and he was getting ready to open it up. And they prayed all night, and lo and behold, a storm came through that night. It was raining, just cats and dogs, and lightning. And lo and behold, lightning hit this building that was going to be the tavern, and it burned down. The next day, the tavern owner went and got a lawyer, and he said, I'm going to sue the church for their responsible for this tavern burned down. And it went to court. The church hired a lawyer, and they said they weren't responsible. It all went to the court, and the judge said, well, at the very beginning, he said, no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians don't believe in prayer. Because they prayed that the Lord wouldn't open it. He answered their prayer. And folks, I got to ask you, do you really believe? Do you really believe? When we pray, we ought to believe. It ought to be an expected prayer. Okay, here's the third. Well, we got a verse. Jeremiah 29:13. Let's see that. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. There ought to be an expectancy. Most of you know the verse, two verses before that, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, God says, slip from my mind. I said, you know what, I can't. I promise you, declares the Lord. Yes. Plans for prosperity and peace and not yet for calamity. Yeah. And when we seek God. Okay, number three, filling in blanks wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. How do we hear from God? Wholeheartedly. Four different times in this passage that we read, between this dialogue between God and Samuel, Samuel said, here I am. Here I am. Four different times. Samuel was saying to Eli, and in a sense, he was saying to God, God, whatever, whenever, however, I'm ready and willing. I'm ready. One reason may be that God does not speak to us or that we can't hear from Him is because we put limitations on what we're going to do for God. Maybe we put limitations on what we're going to do for God. I don't know. You know, some preacher said that when God speaks, it's to God like a blank check. You know, some of us still write checks. I still write checks now. I don't do all my work on the computer. But anyway, write a check. Sometimes you have to write a check to God, and you know where you fill in the blank, how much. We ought to leave that blank, and then we ought to just sign our name and say, God, okay. Whatever, whenever, however. And do you ever say, God? In fact, we were talking about Randy a while ago, Randy Childress. Randy was getting home to me, and we were talking about places to serve. I said, Randy, I want to serve. He said, you can't say that to God. You can't say, God, I want to serve, but I want to serve there. You know, you just got to be open. You got to give God a blank check. Don't put limitations on it. It ought to be wholeheartedly, whatever, whenever, and however. I've got these verses on the screen, Matthew 4:18. I like this. This is actually from the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Mark is much more so. But I'm going to read these verses, and there's a couple of words I want to emphasize. Listen closely. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. I spoke about that this morning, and I'll make you fishers of men. And verse 20, it says, and they straightway and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, son of Zebedee, John, his brother, and the ship was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets when he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. Those two words, straightway and immediately, and they're much more prominent in the Gospel of Mark, all through the Gospel of Mark, it's immediately, straightway. That's the way we ought to follow God. Immediately, straightway, follow God wholeheartedly at once. I'm not saying you have to like it, but you ought to be willing to do it. When I played football in high school, our coaches, they said, you need to play with reckless abandonment. I didn't quite understand what that meant, but I'll tell you, when I wanted to win a football game, I played with reckless abandonment. And I refer to our Olympic athletes today, and boy, talk about being focused and talking about giving it all they got. And if you've been watching any of the Olympics, you know sometimes they're saying, because of the crowd, yes, and because of some people that are in the crowd, and because of the competition, some of those Olympic athletes are able to do better than what they've ever done before. And they're able to break records that have not been broken before. And it's because there's a synergy working there. They're giving it all they got because people are rooting for them and cheering them on, and because of competition. And folks, that's the way we need to be when we're hearing from God. I'll tell you what these Olympic athletes are doing. They're all only thing they're winning a medal. Folks, we're hearing from God. We're hearing from God. That's so much more. Okay. I love in the, let me see, it's in the book of Joshua. I think, Pastor, if I'm wrong, correct me. Story of Caleb when he was 85 years old. Is that Joshua? Somewhere around chapter 5, chapter 6, you remember? Caleb and Joshua were the only two that were in their 20s, older than 20, that have lived through that wandering in the wilderness. And at chapter 1, I think he'd been promised a mountain. Somewhere around chapter 5 or 6, they got to it. And here's that mountain. And Caleb, at 85 years old, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. Wholeheartedly, he wanted it. And that's the way we need to be. Okay, number 4. We need to, how do we hear from God? Patiently. Patiently. We need to run to God, but I'll tell you, frankly, God doesn't always run to us. And that, just remember, there is a God, and it's not you and me, okay? God doesn't have to run to us, but we ought to run to Him. Too many times we treat God like a bellhop. We just snap our fingers. Oh, man, God is almighty. He's all-powerful. He's the creator. He's in charge. He doesn't answer to us. Now, He will answer us. That's a great thing. But we need to be patient. Now, where was I? Going back to this. Look with me in verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli. The third time. Actually, God called Samuel 4 times. He called him 3 times. And it took 3 times before Eli finally figured out. This God called him. I'm kind of disappointed Eli took him so long, but he was so insensitive and dull of hearing spiritually. But God kept on. And it just reminds me, we need to be patient with God. God doesn't always respond to us as quickly, but prayer is not designed to be like a drive-through order at fast food. Too many times we drive through and we get our order. We kind of treat God like that. Our microwave prayers. I read somewhere where the Catholics don't have a drive-through confession. You don't even have to get out of your car. You just drive through a confession stand and get prayed over. You know what prayer? Prayer is really a developing a relationship with God. It's talking to God. We talk, He listens. He talks, He listens. Prayer is talking, reading the Word of God, He speaks to us from wisdom and some relationship. I've got a verse on the screen, Luke chapter 18. Jesus spoke a prayer, a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here's a great verse on how to stay encouraged, not to faint, not to be discouraged, lose heart. How do we not lose heart or get discouraged? Keep on praying. I like that little verse where pray in all things, or pray without ceasing. Wigginton, the old Wigginton, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Keith Wigginton. He did a revival for us in Indian Springs. He had a little saying that went like this. You don't have to pray a long time if you pray all the time. You don't have to pray a long time if you pray all the time. But what he meant by that is pray without ceasing. We don't just go through our day. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Lord, give me some insight on this situation. A little bit later on, we say, Lord, help me to be sensitive to this. Lord, maybe half an hour later, just say, Lord, help me to be patient here. And that's praying all day. That's praying without ceasing. And I remember when I was in seminary. Do you know Lester and I went to seminary together? I didn't know that. He was actually just a few years older than I am. But we both went to seminary. And I remember Gray Austin, our president, found were you ever there? Gray had a Dr. Allison, excuse me, not Gray. Dr. Allison. He had a thing about starting on time, and he had a thing about ending on time. Now, he let it go a little bit long, but I don't know if you were ever there, but in chapel, speaker would get up here, and Gray Allison, Dr. Allison would sit over here, and a couple times, speaker went too long, and Dr. Allison got up and pulled the coattail. That was a signal they'd gone too long. And I'm telling you, in front of a packed chapel. But I remember what Dr. Allison said about prayer. He said, now, I'm going to call on you leading prayer, but I don't want you to catch up on all your praying for the week. I don't want you to catch up on it right now. And he said that was a signal that someone hadn't been praying very long, praying very much if they prayed a long prayer in public. And I've never forgotten that. But prayer ought to be we ought to be praying and developing a relationship. Abraham, when he was praying over Sodom and Gomorrah, you remember he went to God. He said, God, there's 50 righteous. And then Abraham got that. Well, probably not. 45. And then 40. And then 30. And 20. And 10. You know, Abraham went back to God 6 different times praying with God. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I'm praying this matter through. I'm praying this matter through. That's meaning what we might pray. We might not get the answer right now. And we need to pray again. For example, Garden of Gethsemane. How many times did Jesus pray that prayer? Not my will, but God. 3 times. What about the Apostle Paul when he was praying about that thorn in the flesh? How many times did he say he prayed over that? 3 times. 3 seasons of praying. It's like discussing an issue with God over a period of time. You know, we make a request, God speaks to us, we think about it, we go back to God, and He speaks to us again. Prayer is developing a relationship. We need to be patient and hearing from God. Number 5, actively we need to be in our prayer. How do we hear from God? Actively. Look with me in verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am. He actually did something. Now, granted, Samuel didn't realize this was God, but when he heard that voice, he got up. He ran to Eli. Here I am. He was putting feet to his prayer. And by the way, this happened 4 times God spoke to him. And each time, 3 times he went to Eli, but the 4th time he immediately spoke up. Putting feet to your prayers. Someone once said, boy, this is a great quote. God will not do what we can do, and we cannot do what only God can do. Now, I want to explain this. I want to be careful about it. There's a saying, some people think this is in the Bible, but it's not. God helps those who help themselves. very long way. But what I do want you to know is we need to be active in our prayer life, hearing God and obeying God. Let me give you some examples. When the 10 lepers came to Jesus to be healed, were they immediately healed? No. What did Jesus tell them to do? Told them to go to the priest, and on the way there, they were healed. Now, here's a question. We're not really sure the answer. Would they have been healed had they disobeyed Jesus and not gone to the priest? I don't think they would have been healed. I think obediently, actively, they were obeying Christ. And as they obeyed him, he healed them. The man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said, "You want to get well?" Okay, I said, "What do you think I'm doing here? You know, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, I'm waiting for..." He basically said, "Yeah, I want to." And then Jesus said, "Get up." I don't think he said, that's in John chapter 5, I don't think he said, "You're healed." But Jesus said, "Get up." And when he got up, he was healed. Would he have been healed and not done? Well, I don't know. But here's a great example. What about when Jesus went after the passing of Lazarus, that he met Mary and Martha, and then they went out the tomb? Do you remember? You know, Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. Nobody can do that. Only God can do that. But do you remember what he asked Martha and Mary to do when they got there? What did he ask them to do? Roll away the stone. And then he called Lazarus, and Lazarus came out. And then he asked Martha and Mary and the rest of people, he asked them to do something else. What was it he asked them to do after Lazarus came out? Take his grave clothes off. Now, just think with me. If Jesus can call a man back from the dead after he's been dead for 4 days, don't you think he could have blown that stone, that tombstone, to smithereens? Don't you think he could have had those grave clothes just wind themselves off of that man? What I'm trying to say is, God doesn't do what you and I can do, and we certainly can't do what only God can do. But many times in our prayers and hearing God, we need to be willing to do what we can do. Okay? I think there's too many people that just sit back in a lounge chair and they say, "God, I need some food. Come give me some food. God, I need someone to pay my mortgage. Come pay my mortgage." No. God said, "I gave you 2 good feet. Well, not all of us. Like you're struggling with a leg injury, okay? So anyway, it's like in Frontier Day. There was a family whose house had burned, and they were out of house and home, and all the folks said, "We'll be praying for you. We'll be praying for you." That's good. But there was one fellow, at least one, who drove up in a wagon that was full of lumber, supply, and food. And the fellow got down, and he said, "I'm here to report that some people sent their prayers. They sent their prayers. They sent lumber and supplies. Today I preached on Nehemiah, and Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. Great story. There was definitely opposition. We read about that today. Some who were preparing to do battle with Nehemiah, and Nehemiah got word. Here they built the wall." And in chapter 4, Paul, turn over there to Nehemiah. Look, I love this verse. "And they conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and hinder it." Verse 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God," which you ought to be doing, you ought to be praying. "We made our prayer to God, and we set a watch against them day and night. We posted guards." We prayed about it, but we posted guards. I tell you, that's active praying. That's actively listening to God. Okay, you fill in blanks, number 6. Confidently. How do we hear from God? Confidently. Going back to this particular passage in Hebrews chapter 10, I mean in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. It said, "Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Speak confidently. I can't help but think Samuel's scared to death. But he's brave. He's brave. I tell you, there have been a lot of doors, a lot of homes I've been to, and there was a door that I stand outside. I was scared, but I was confident. I was brave, and I knocked on that door many times. I said, maybe they're not coming, but man, I hope they come. Confident. He was scared, but yet he was brave. He said, speak, Lord. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We got a promise from Jesus Christ. We can go, we can hear from God confident. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And then Hebrews chapter 4, we've got this on the screen. You're familiar with this. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Folks, we can go before God boldly and confidently and hear God. That's the way we need to. Number 7, obedient. How do we hear from God? Obedient. Verse 10, we read it, but let me read it again to you. Now the Lord came and stood and called out at other times, Samuel, 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 I speak, for your servant hears. Now I didn't know this, but that word hears, or in some translations, listens. If you go back to the original Hebrew, it doesn't just mean he hears or he listens. It means I'm listening with an intent to obey. I'm listening with the desire to obey. And in fact, in some places, it can actually be translated, obey. It's like that blank check when we hand you back. God, you want to, by the way, you want to know how this is one of the big questions that Christians have is, how do I know the will of God? How do you determine the will of God? I'm going to tell you very simply. It goes along with what we're talking about. If you say to God, how do I know the will of God? Just say to God, I will. Before you even know whatever God's will is, you just need to say, I will. It's like having that blank check with your signature on it, saying, God, whatever, whenever, however, I will. Obediently. 40 years ago, last month, 1976, July, in Uganda, the airport, Entebbe, there was 103 Jews that were taken hostage by this band. They came in here, these guerrillas captured these in the airport, 103 Jews, and they had them hostage. There were just 7 kidnappers. Of course, they were armed, but they were mixed and mingled in among these 103 Jews. Well, the commandos, they've been planning a raid. They plan how we're going to get them, how we're going to rescue these without anybody getting hurt or killed. They came up with a great idea. The commandos, the Jewish commandos that were going to rescue the Jews, they take them hostage. They said, we'll come in there and we'll speak in Hebrew. Of course, that's the Jewish language. And they said, go down. Fall down and crawl. Fall down and crawl in Hebrew. And they knew that the captives wouldn't be able to understand that language. So they came in there, surrounded him, and they called out in Hebrew, fall down, crawl, fall down and crawl. And immediately, these Jews who understood that language, they fell down. And the captives who couldn't understand it, they were standing, and they were immediately shot and killed, 7 of them. And the Jews were rescued. Except the 3 Jews. 2 of them who actually heard the Hebrew warning to fall and crawl, they hesitated. They were busy looking around. And because they were left standing, they also got shot. There was one Jew who did obey. He fell, but he stood back up to look around, and he got shot. Here's the point. B-O-B-E-D. How to hear from God? Obediently. Hey, when I was walking around a while ago, you've got a beautiful portrait out here, picture out here in the foyer of Jesus Christ knocking on the door. I love that picture. It was painted around 1850. And I've got some little miniature pictures that I want to hand out. And I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if this is true or not, but there's a story that kind of goes along with that portrait picture we have out there, Jesus knocking on the door. There's a story that a friend of the artist painter came and he said, "Hey, that's a beautiful painting. Except you're never the same." And the artist said, "What are you talking about?" And the friend said, "Well, look, you left something off." Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What was it? Doorknob. The friend said, "Well, look, that's the door. You left the doorknob off." And the artist said, "That's not a mistake. Because this is the door to a person's heart. And there's only one doorknob, and it's on the inside." Jesus said, "I'm coming knock on the door." And of course, he calls out. He says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door." And I'm just thinking about that and what we're talking about tonight. Many times, I think God is knocking, and God is speaking. But we've got to open the door. We've got to hear. And we've got to respond. Let's pray together.